Our reading is from John chapter 14 and the first 11 verses. It's on page 1047 in the Pew Bibles if you want to find your way to that. John 14, reading from verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. May the Lord bless this reading of his word.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for sharing your faith story and for reading God's word from the Gospel of John this morning. Interesting connection with Oak Hall that Glenn mentioned this morning. Raywin and I did a trip through Europe in 1992 with Oak Hall and had a fantastic time, 5 weeks camping, travelling through a big part of Europe with Oak Hall, that Christian tour group. And then 2 years ago, our trip to Israel was with Oak Hall as well. So nice to have that connection, Glenn. Thank you. My name's Ken. Kia ora tato. My name's Ken. For any visitors that are here who may wonder who I am, pastor of this church, my privilege to be one of the pastors here. 4 weeks ago, on Pentecost Sunday, as it turned out to be, actually deliberately we chose Pentecost Sunday, Patsy and Marcus and I presented our church's, what we're calling our strategic initiative for reaching the lost. That's a pretty heady sounding thing to say, isn't it? But it involves running an alpha course starting on September the 8th, is the date, as Patsy said, we've tentatively chosen to begin the alpha course. And our hope is that the whole church will get in behind it, be involved in it in some way or another, even if it is, I won't say just through prayer, but perhaps especially through prayer, but also in a variety of other ways, as you've been given opportunity to register your interest in the newsletter that you'll have received. I remember when Patsy asked us all, who's done an alpha course before? I was sitting near the front like I normally do and thought I'd just have a little peek around to see how many have done an alpha before. And I was actually quite surprised to find just about everybody's hand up. Pretty much everybody had done an alpha course. So most of you will all be very familiar, I'm sure, with alpha, with what it's all about. But just in case some of you don't, and it doesn't hurt to have a recap on things, let me explain a bit more about Alpha. The Alpha course is a 10-week course that introduces the basics of the Christian faith. Alpha began way back in 1977. I didn't realise it was as far back as that. At an Anglican church in London called Holy Trinity Brompton, which many of you will know, it's kind of become quite famous since then. Originally, it was a course for just their church members. However, in 1990, one of their vicars, Nicky Gumbel, transformed it into a course to introduce people outside of the church to the Christian faith. And so many non-Christians attended that very first Alpha course, and so Nicky Gumbel decided to make it available to churches and Christian groups all over the UK, and then eventually all over the world. This was made possible by turning it into a series of video talks. And since then, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even millions, I don't know the total number, have been to an Alpha course. As was testimony here, where we had a show of hands and just about everybody put your hand up. So lots of you have done an Alpha course. Alpha courses are now run in churches like ours, but of all denominations, in homes, in workplaces, in prisons, in universities, and a wide variety of other locations too. Many who have attended an Alpha course have either become first-time believers in Jesus because of encountering him during that Alpha course, or they've renewed their Christian faith through doing an Alpha course. Back in 2002, when I was a student pastor assigned to the Auckland Baptist Tabernacle, at the time that was the church that I was to do the practical part of my Carey Baptist College training to become a pastor. I didn't realise at the time that quite a few years later I'd actually be back there, but this time as a pastor, which was my last church before here. But when I was there as a student pastor, one of their wonderful pastors at the time, some of you may know her name is Marjorie Gibson, ran the Alpha course with a big, large team of people. And they did a pretty amazing job of running it, or so I thought at the time. It was quite incredible to be able to sit in and be part of it, to be help out with the facilitation of one of the groups, and just kind of experience how they went about running Alpha and getting to find out what Alpha was all about. I think they had about 50 or so doing that Alpha course that year. They provided a wonderful big dinner for it all every night, every time, and several came to faith in Jesus Christ during that Alpha course that I helped out with. Now, if you did an Alpha course several years ago, which I'm just assuming it will have been for many of you, but for others it might have been quite recently, but if you did it several years ago, it's quite likely you did the original Alpha course, the same one that I took part in at the Baptist Tabernacle 22 years ago, which was a series of video talks presented by Nicky Gumbel. However, the church has recently been updated for today's generations as what they now call the Alpha Film Series. So its format is a little bit different to the one you might have seen, which was basically just Nicky Gumbel speaking from a lectern in Holy Brompton Church. They've upgraded it really to be more appealing, more connective with the generations of today, which aren't so used to just seeing a speaker up front talking to them. They want a bit more going on than that to keep their attention going. And this is what we're going to be running and using when we run the Alpha course here. We're going to use their latest version of the Alpha course, which they call it the Alpha Film Series. Now, since it may have been a long time since you did an Alpha course, and because it's been updated substantially, and because we want you all to be familiar with the contents of the Alpha course, and because we want you to feel confident enough in the course to invite your friends and your neighbours to it, and because the Alpha course is also helpful for growing those who've already begun the Christian faith journey, like I'm presuming most of you have here, we're beginning a preaching series today that's going to follow the same topics that are covered in the Alpha course. And as we go about through this, what is essentially a preaching series, we are going to see some little clips of taken from the Alpha film series, so you can be familiar with the content and the format of the Alpha film series. Episode 1 of the Alpha film series answers the question, is there more to life than this? So let's watch a few minutes from the beginning of episode 1 of the Alpha film series. We'll see if it works from there, otherwise you might need to click it there. Oh, help if I put this on. There we go.
Hi, I'm Nikki. Welcome to Alpha. Life is busy. Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? What's happening today? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions. Like, why am I here? Where am I heading? Is this it? Is there more to life than this? These are life's big questions, but there's rarely enough time to think them through properly.
We all have different perspectives on the meaning of life and faith, and Alpha is an opportunity to explore life's big questions.
This is a great place to come together and talk about them openly and honestly. I'm Gemma.
I'm Toby.
And this is Alpha.
I go on Google.
I definitely Google.
I go on Wikipedia.
Internet.
I scroll through all the different answers, and then I try and combine it, and then make my own kind of like cornerstone.
Or smart friends.
I don't ask big life questions. It's too hard to answer.
Google or my grandmother.
I meditate or I read.
When I have a big life questions, I probably go to my family.
I haven't really had any mess with what they say.
To my mom or my dad, basically.
My mom or my dad, maybe my grand.
I get most of them. I don't really trust the people that I'm around.
The key is always to yourself. You gotta figure some things out for yourself.
If I'm confused, I go to him first. And he confuses me more.
But when it's something more personal, I try to find it within myself first.
Friends of mine told me that the first night they came to Alpha, they sat in their car for half an hour waiting and watching people going in. And eventually when they'd seen enough normal looking people going in, they thought they'd give it a try.
And one thing that might be going through your mind is, am I going to be the only one there who doesn't believe all this stuff, who's not a Christian, that doesn't go to church? Well, if that's you, then you're in the right place. Alpha is designed for people who wouldn't call themselves Christians or who are not regular churchgoers.
It might feel a bit strange to be discussing life and faith with people that you've never met before, but the best thing about Alpha is often the great friendships that are formed over the weeks.
Caught me out. Now, as most of you know, every Alpha session begins with food and fellowship. If you went to an Alpha course, I'm pretty sure they would have had some sort of food, whether that was a full-blown meal or maybe a dessert or an afternoon tea, depending on what time of the day you did your Alpha course. They encourage all Alpha courses to begin with food so that people can relax and chat, get to know each other, begin with a time of fellowship together. So we're going to do that right now. We might want to simulate a little bit of what Alpha's like. We're going to serve a little bit of food. That's just a token, really, for this morning. But our servers are going to come, our door greeters, are going to come and pass around some bickies for you to enjoy this morning. But as you chew on your bickie and enjoy it, please turn to the people around you. And for just 2 minutes, I want you to encourage you to have a chat with them, whether they're somebody you know already quite well or whether it's somebody you don't know. Have a little chat with them. Ask them how their week's been. Ask them what the most enjoyable thing was that they did over the weekend. Maybe they went to field days. You could ask them about that. Maybe they watched the rugby last night. Wasn't that an awesome game? Well, yesterday afternoon with the Chiefs. I watched it last night. But wasn't that a great game? Whatever it might be that you want to just naturally strike up a little conversation as you have your biscuits together, a couple of minutes just to do that before we carry on.
enough left for me.
Yes,
what they want. Oh, like, oh, chop, oh, no, that one.
So just about everybody got a biscuit. I can hear that you've all had a good chance to have a little chat, which is wonderful to hear. At a normal Alpha course, you would have be given quite a bit more time than just this that I'm giving you this morning. I've got my biscuit. I'm partway through it. I'll finish it off as we carry on. But let's just wind the conversations down. If you haven't had a biscuit yet, please put your hand up and the servers will give you one. But that's just a little taster, really, of the beginning of an Alpha course, which begins with food, begins with fellowship, an opportunity to relax and get to know people. Here's the question that's going to be explored and answered, really, in the very first Alpha course. Is there more to life than this? Is there more to life than this? It's a question that people have been asking for a long, long time. The conversation between Jesus and his disciples in the Bible reading that Glenn read earlier was initiated by what Jesus had just told his disciples just before this conversation he had with them. He just told them that he was going to be with them for only a little while longer, and that where he was going, they wouldn't be able to come with him. So Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" He was essentially asking, is this it? Or is there more to life than this? Because if there is, I want to go with you so I can experience it too. And so Jesus reassured them, don't let this trouble you. Trust in me. I know where I'm going. I'm going to my Father's house. It's where God lives. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Once I've gotten it ready, I'm coming back for you so that you can come and live there with me too. Is a paraphrased version of what Jesus was saying. But Thomas still didn't get it. So he said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And at the heart of both of these questions that Peter and Thomas each asked Jesus was a yearning for there to be more to life than this. You see, over their previous 3 years with Jesus, the disciples' hearts and minds had been opened up to the possibility that there was much more to life than what they had been experiencing prior to meeting Jesus. But now that he'd told them he was about to leave them, they wanted more. Surely that's not it. Surely there's more. They wanted to go where experienced, had a taste of in their 3 years with Jesus. Except they didn't know how to get to wherever it was that Jesus was going to next. And that's when Jesus said what has since become what I think must be the second most memorized verse in the Bible. The first, of course, is John 3:16 that we have written up in the foyer as you come in. But I think a close second would be John 14:6 that Glenn read before. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If I didn't put that up there and ask you, can you quote to me? You possibly might not remember John 14:6, the reference, but I'm sure you, many of you, most of you, would be able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I learnt it as a child at Sunday school. Many of you would have too. This was how they could satisfy their yearning for more of what they'd tasted and seen during their time with Jesus. And what they were yearning for, though they hadn't been able to articulate it very well, was for more of God. And the only way to get more of God was through Jesus, because no one can experience God the Father except through Jesus. Now, it's quite possible that right at the very first episode of Alpha, as we're going to anticipating there will be people coming along and interacting with this first episode of Alpha, some of the participants could have great difficulty with this claim. Because although it's explained very carefully in the Alpha course, and we'll see how they explain it in a moment, there's no hiding this essential tenet of the Christian faith, that Jesus is the only way to God, because God the Father is in Jesus the Son, and Jesus the Son is in God the Father. Jesus told Philip precisely that when he answered his request to show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered it by saying, well, you have already seen him because you've seen me, and God the Father is in me, and vice versa. Gary Burge, in the NIV application commentary on John's Gospel, has this to say about the implications of John 14:6 for people seeking an answer to this question: is there more to life than this? He says, or he writes, in a world of religious pluralism, which is what we're in today, anyone making an exclusive truth claim about God will find opponents who will object not necessarily to the religious system being offered — the world's fine about there being religious systems in our world — but they object to the exclusivity of any such claim. Yet this is precisely the truth claim we have in Christianity. Jesus does not merely point the way, he is the way. Jesus does not just teach us truth, he is the truth. He does not represent one avenue to life, he is the life. This is an exclusive claim that cannot be compromised, that the human quest for God is found in Jesus Christ, because God himself was in Jesus Christ. So we're going to have to grapple with that, aren't we, as we get into Alpha, and that may well come up in the discussion groups, and we're going to have to navigate that well with people that might go, hang on a minute, isn't there lots of different ways to get to God? And this verse says there's only one way. Here's how Alpha presents Jesus as the answer to the question, is there more to life than this? Kay, if you could show that.
The actor Jim Carrey once said, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of, so they would know that's not the answer. Some people dream of having their name in lights, of fame and fortune. Some people dream of finding happiness through relationships, careers, money, whatever it may be. But do you ever get that niggly feeling that, as good as those things are, there must be more to life?
Yeah, all too often, life just doesn't turn out the way we think it should. And even when it does and we achieve our wildest dreams, it's somehow never quite enough. It just doesn't satisfy. It's like there's something missing. The comedian and actor Russell Brand said, drugs and alcohol are not my problem. Reality is my problem. Drugs and alcohol are my solution to fill up a hole inside me. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In other words, I'm the one who fulfills the longing that's deep inside every human heart. Jesus claimed to be the one person who can satisfy that spiritual hunger.
Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of the rock group Queen, had amassed a huge fortune and attracted millions of fans. But he admitted in an interview shortly before his death that he was desperately lonely. He said this, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man, and that's the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ultimately, there's only one relationship that is totally loving and goes on forever, and that's a relationship with God. And Jesus said,
I have to be quicker on my transitions back to the pulpit. When we read all of John's Gospel — we've only seen one, we read a little bit from chapter 14, but if we were to read all of John's Gospel with an eye for every time that Jesus described himself with the words, I am, followed by a description of himself, we'd soon realize that Jesus's I am statements are actually even more contentious than what he said in John 14:6. Because in John 6:35, that was mentioned in the video, Jesus described himself as, I am the bread of life. Then in John 8:1, he described himself as, I am the light of the world. In John 10:7, he described himself as, I am the gate for the sheep. In John 10:11, he described himself as, I am the good shepherd. In John 11:25, he described himself as, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 15:1, Jesus described himself as, "I am the true vine." Taken all together, each of these seven I am statements about Jesus' identity revealed the truth, the full truth about who Jesus was. And the truth is not simply that Jesus was sent on a divine mission on behalf of God the Father, but that the Father himself is on a divine mission in the life of the Son, because the Father lives in Jesus. And the truth is not that Jesus merely points the way to God. He is the way to God because Jesus lives in the Father. And the truth is that Jesus does not only teach us truth about God, he is the truth about God because God is in Jesus and Jesus is in God. So let's see how Alpha explains what the implications are of Jesus' claim, "I am the truth."
Okay. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Some people's response to a Christian might be, "Well, it's great for you. You found meaning and purpose in your life, but it's not for me." But when you think about it, that's not actually a logical position, because if Christianity is true, it's of vital importance to every one of us. And if it's not true, it's not great for us because it means we're deluded. C.S. Lewis was one of the great intellectual giants of the 20th century, probably best known as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia. He said this: "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." I come from a family of lawyers, so naturally I wanted to look at the original documents and sources. I never really looked at the evidence before, and I was astonished at how much evidence there is for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For me, it was through reading these documents that we find in the New Testament that I came to the conclusion, it's true. One of the last cases I did as a lawyer was in the Court of Appeal in front of Lord Denning, an absolutely brilliant mind, perhaps the greatest judge of the 20th century. He said on one occasion that his Bible was his most tattered book in his library. He'd examined the evidence really carefully, and he came to the conclusion, it's true. One former professor of history at Oxford University described the resurrection as the best attested fact in history. I hadn't realized how many of the pioneers of modern science were believers. Descartes, Newton, Kepler, Galileo, Locke, Copernicus, Faraday, Kelvin, Pasteur.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," which means Jesus does not represent one avenue to life. He is the source of eternal life, because God is eternal, and anything that God does, if he brings life, it's going to be eternal life. If he brings truth, it's going to be eternal truth. If he offers the way, it's the way to these that are eternal. Because Jesus is God, and God is the source of eternal life. So let's see how Nikki Gumbel explains the ramifications of Jesus' claim, "I am the life."
There's a difference between knowing facts about someone and really knowing them personally. Now, I've known my husband, Phil, for 3 years now, but suppose if before we met, I found him on a website called The Amazing Man. Now, there's no doubt I would have looked at him and thought, okay, I'm intrigued. But what if each page was dedicated to his amazing abilities, his sparkling personality, his tender heart, his extraordinary intelligence, and his cooking abilities? Well, I would think, wow, he does sound like an amazing person. But that's head knowledge. But I also have the privilege of being married to him, and I know that he's an amazing person, which is knowledge that comes from experience of relationship, and that's heart knowledge.
When Jesus said, "I am the truth," he was talking about more than just a kind of intellectual truth. The Hebrew understanding of truth was truth as experienced. And there's a big difference between a kind of intellectual knowledge and a personal knowledge, between your head and your heart. So when someone says, "I know Jesus is the truth," they're not just talking about being convinced of the evidence. They're also talking about experiencing a relationship with the risen Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth," and lastly he said, "I am the life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Jesus came to deal with the things in our lives that stop us from enjoying life to the full, the things that spoil our lives.
I hate shopping. I loathe it. I think I'm allergic to shopping. But occasionally, my wife, Pippa, persuades me to go shopping. And just after Christmas, it was the sales, and she persuaded me to go shopping. And we went into the shop, and we bought this very nice new sweater, the same colour as all my other sweaters. And we left the shop, and we went to buy a present for her. And we went into this ghastly shop. It was so crowded. It was unbelievable. And even Pippa had had enough, and she said, OK, we're leaving. So we went to leave. And as we left, the security alarm went off. And the security guys moved in very quickly. And they stopped us all from leaving. And like the crowd that was trying to leave was stopped. And the crowd that was trying to come in was stopped. And we were there right in the middle. The six of us who were going through the security at that one time were all taken off and sectioned off from all the rest. And they wanted to see which one of the six of us had set off the alarm. So they sent one of them through, and that was fine. They obviously hadn't set it off. Then they sent the next one through. They obviously hadn't set it off. Then the third, then the fourth. None of them set it off. So it was left with Pippa and I were standing there, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm married to a shoplifter. It must be Pippa who's got set off the alarm. So they sent her through, and she didn't set it off. So I thought, oh my goodness, I've obviously got something. Someone must have planted something on me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be sent to prison. All the crowd were watching, both sides. They were just watching this criminal who'd been caught going through. So they went through, and as I went through, the alarm went off. They took me to the side. They opened up my rucksack on my back, and there they found this sweater from the other shop with the tag still on it. I felt so guilty. That was like false guilt. I also sometimes experience true feelings of guilt because I do things that are not right, that are not good. And this is the wonderful news, that God loves you and he loves me. God came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. And on the cross, he took all of your guilt, all of my guilt, everything you've ever done wrong, everything I've ever done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong, and he died in our place in order that we could be forgiven. And forgiveness, C.S. Lewis said, it's like a recording of our life wiped completely clean. And when we receive that forgiveness, we find life and life in all its fullness. And that's what Jesus wants for you and for me, life in all its fullness, life at its very, very best.
Jesus' answer to the questions that Peter and Thomas had asked him, where are you going? And how can we know the way? Has answered our Alpha question. Jesus answered their questions and ours with what's become the second most memorized verse in the Bible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And no matter how much the world may want to compromise that answer, this is an exclusive truth that just cannot be compromised. This week I visited a dearly loved member of our church who knew that he hadn't much time left before his physical body was going to die. Derek has impressed me, as I know he's impressed many of you who know him and have visited him over recent weeks and months. Really impressed me with the way he's been facing his imminent death, with an amazing peace, an incredible desire to tell everyone that he was ready to go because he knows where he's going. He knew where he was going. And now that Derek has died, we know where he's gone, don't we? He's gone to the Father's house, where there are many rooms, and Jesus has gone there before him to prepare a place for Derek, as he prepares a place for you and I too. Why did Derek have such a peace while facing his death? Because he knew there truly is more to life than this. Because Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father's house except through Jesus Christ. Is there more to life than this? Yes, there certainly is. God has shown himself in Jesus Christ, and God has spoken in Jesus Christ. The human quest for God and the answer to our question, is there more to life than this, is found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus Christ. So have you found Jesus Christ like Derek has? The end of every Alpha video, there's a group discussion time. It's the format of Alpha, really, is start with a time of fellowship, discussion over a bit of food, watch the video, which goes for about 20 minutes, and then another 15, 20 minutes or so talking about it, chatting about it, facilitated by a group facilitator, but allowing the group to interact with it and ask the big questions, have a go at answering themselves in a facilitated kind of a way. And it's in that discussion that usually the questions and the ways of grappling with it start to emerge, and the group starts to form into a group of friends. And over the 10 weeks of the Alpha course, God is at work, the Holy Spirit is at work, working deeply in people's lives. That's certainly what I've experienced in my opportunity of experiencing Alpha for myself. There was a quote that was put up during the Alpha video from a C.S. Lewis. The quote is this. C.S. Lewis wrote that Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. What did he mean by that? To finish off with, I want to give you another 2 or 3 minutes to have a go, turn around to those people nearby you and have a go at answering that question. Have a chat about that question. That Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. What did C.S. Lewis mean by that? Have a chat about that before I wrap things up and we finish off. Well, sorry to cut off your lovely conversations. It's been nice hearing that little murmur of your chatting to each other. We're just having a simulation of the discussion. There would be a lot more time to discuss things in a normal Alpha course, but neat to just hear you interacting with that question. Let me close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that means you are the only way to God. This truth is of infinite importance. As we prepare to run the Alpha course in September, we pray that this infinitely important truth will be heard, will be understood and believed by the people who respond to our invitation to come to Alpha. May they discover you as the way, the truth, and the everlasting life. Amen.